it's time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio, and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. Now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave.
And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another hour of Sports Sidebar. And Hugh Jackman has a tell-all book on the Cleveland Browns coming. The only question is, why would anybody bother to buy it?
Oh, Hugh. Hugh is going to, on the Browns, he's going to write a book on the Browns. Well, it's, yeah, you're right. I don't know why anybody would want to buy a book from him. I mean,
you know what?
Talk about,
I bet you they'd sell well in Pittsburgh, maybe.
They could.
Yeah.
You know, Hugh Jackson was not a, let's say, a stellar coach while he was here. I mean, I thought he was a good hire at first. He did a good job in Oakland.
He did.
When he had an 8-8 season, he seemed to check all the boxes. But something happens to good people sometimes when they enter the realm of the doofuses Browns. We hope Stefanski will somehow deflect any of that influence on him. So far, so good. I mean, he's had more victories, I think, than Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson was 3-1 in his, 3 years with this team.
Yeah, well, not all of it was his fault, of course.
A lot of it had to do with, I mean, he got stuck with Johnny Manziel.
He did, and the very smart, I mean, these guys were smart front office.
Yeah.
I don't think any other than, I'm trying to think if there's anybody left from those drafts. I think there may be one or two, but I'm not sure. The guy that has done more for the Browns who's no longer with us is Dorsey. He did a nice job.
Yep.
He just unfortunately picked the wrong coach to head the team last year, and that resulted in the owners saying, well, we're going to demote you. Hugh, I can't imagine anybody interested in buying a book about a dismal career he had here. It just doesn't make any sense.
When they have, well, I think, with people who don't like the doofuses, they probably may want to join in and buy that book.
Yeah.
Because that's where a lot of the problem, as you and I both know, really seems to stem from. And even though they saved him an extra year of his job because Dee was so infatuated with him, the fact is,
I'm implying that
he must be off the payroll, because isn't there a non-disclosure deal? Basically, when you sign your contract, it also says you're not allowed to talk about the team.
I guess while you're under contract, once the contract, I don't know if it's, I'm sure it's expired by now. I think they stopped paying them. I don't know. They're paying a lot of ex-coaches.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, even just before Freddie, so he'd be in his 1, 2, 3, 4th. This would be the 5th year of his contract. Don't you generally sign a 5-year contract as a head coach?
You do.
Work 1, get fired, and get paid for 4. More.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably right, but I don't think he would jeopardize a good chunk of change for a book that'll probably be not a bestseller by any stretch of the imagination. If he sells 5,000 copies, I'd be shocked at $10 a piece. If he gets that much anymore at Amazon, they don't give you a lot of money for writing a book.
Nope.
And I don't think for $500,000 he would jeopardize millions. I don't know. That's a good question, but I don't know the non-disclosure clause, meaning you can't defame the front office or anything like that, or any kind of means and details of the operation.
All the people have been through here as head coaches have always left thanking the fans and saying they enjoyed their time here. after they've been fired. And I think that partially it is, where the heck are you ever going to get another job again if you beat up on the team you were with?
That's true. I didn't know he was writing a book.
Yeah, that came out on Monday. I heard that coming in. So wow. It was...
Well, he probably has nothing much to do now. So he gets... Normally they have a... if you're not a gifted writer, and most of us aren't, you are, but I don't know if... You've written some books and
I've written some books and some articles and some TV.
I'm saying, and you could probably write a book and be fine, but a lot of us, get somebody to help them. That's why you'll see a book by Superstar and somebody else. And then somebody else is somebody who could collect the information and put it in some readable form,
right?
And they get credit for it and everything like that.
That's why half the book of Cleveland personalities are and Tom Farron, you know.
yes, or maybe Terry Pluto,
maybe Rich Helmenfels has done a few of that too, you know. Mm-hmm. But
I think Donald Trump's book, the
he paid the guy to be a ghostwriter, which means his name doesn't appear anywhere.
Yeah,
Art of the Deal. Yeah, he didn't. He never admitted to it, but the ghostwriters come out and talked. But you could see, you could see right through him. You know, what can I say?
Well, there you go. I don't know, but a lot of personalities write memoirs with the help of a professional writer, and maybe he was doing that. I don't know, but I haven't. His name hasn't popped up in my mind.
Anywhere.
For some time. I think you're right. This probably would have been this last year or second to last year. And you probably, unless you got a buyout. I mean, you got a buyout.
That's possible. Yeah, that's possible.
Would you take this up front and just go away? And normally those are very nice. So
how come nobody ever offers that to us?
I know. Gosh, we have to put money in Social Security, and hopefully it gets to us. But that's it. I mean, there's no other golden ticket.
Heck, we'd be lucky to get something at rallies with what they pay us to go away.
So, all we would get, let me see, what would we get? I don't know, a pair of shoes in the Goodwill shoe department.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Get that.
Or get that. Actually, you'd get the shoes, I'd get the boot.
You get the boot?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Normally, they don't carry most places. I wear a 13 size shoe, and it's hard to find sometimes. So I wouldn't even get that.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah. But anyway, that's interesting. I'm not going to buy it or read it. It's just, shoes are a long gone memory.
Here I thought you'd buy it and read it on the Air Force.
No, I wouldn't read it on a plane, train, or automobile. I wouldn't read it. So, and reading season's about to come.
It is.
With baseball rapidly coming to an end.
I heard about basketball season. I guess the head of basketball said, well, I will let you know 8 weeks before we'll be ready to start. So now it's sometime, at least in mid-January, it's looking like.
Yeah.
For basketball.
Yeah, well, it's, we always talk about it. You think when it doesn't seem like it can get any worse, it is. And we're approaching 80,000 people a day in this country testing positive. I'm taking a COVID test myself on Thursday. It's, hopefully everything is fine, because we've got to take one before we go on our trip. Aruba requires it, and we're hoping, we're just crossing our fingers that everything is still a go. It's almost a day-to-day, wake up and you just don't know if the country's going to, Aruba's going to say, well, I'm sorry, Americans are just out of control, we're not going to take you. Europe is just, it's running rapid.
Yes.
France has just announced that it's shutting most of their businesses down, have curfews. It, it's just the second wave has come upon us. Well, I don't know if there's ever been an end of the first wave, but they say the second wave is upon them in Europe.
For them, there was. They did a lot to curb it. And then, as everywhere else, everybody got tired of it. And they got tired of the mask, they got tired of the quarantine, they got tired of the home and the house. Domestic violence has gone up, divorces are going up.
Yeah. Oh, it's a horrible thing. I mean, there's just no getting around it. It just seems that as human beings, we don't have the discipline to do what is required. I mean, right. I see there was some woman who was ahead of some large university, whatever they call that, specialist that handles diseases. Mm-hmm. That even with a vaccine, what would you prefer, a vaccine or a mask to conquer this thing? And she said, a mask. Even with a vaccine, the mask is the most useful device that we have to spread it.
From what I hear some people say, it's not going to go away for years. And it may go dormant, possibly, but that's not very likely, which means you'll be wearing your mask forever.
I know.
If you have the vaccine, I'm rolling up my sleeve. When it's a scientific...
If you start growing a tail, you'll wonder why. What happened?
Yeah. When it's a scientifically proven vaccine, not just because somebody tells me to take it.
Yeah, well, the guy I'll trust is Dr. Fauci.
Yes.
He was on 60 Minutes a week ago Sunday, and he said, when asked if he would take the a vaccine, and he would say, if the data shows the efficacy of the vaccine is where it should be, and all the other protocols have been followed, and it proves to be effective, sign me up. And that's, if he says it's a go on a certain vaccine, I'll trust him. I'll trust no one else. Some quack that the current administration will roll out and say, "Oh yeah, I think this is it's a cockroach juice. You know, it's miracle worker, miracle." Yeah. So I think Dr. Fauci is the person. I just hope he stays employed. You know, after the election, one way or the other, he's probably fair game for. I don't know if he can be fired. I would think that he's despised by.
He could probably be taken off that panel, but he won't be fired from where he's at.
No, he's the head. He's the director of the National Institute of Allergies and everything. I don't know if the president is the one that can fire him, or there's like a panel of scientists that say this is the guy we select. I simply do not know. I don't think it's a patronage job. I don't believe so. Some of the other ones, like the CDC and FHA, and some of those are led by a political appointee, but there are certain, you would think that they want the best scientists, whether it's a Democrat, Republican, Independent, a Libertarian, whatever it happens to be, you want the best scientists involved in the particular area of medicine that they're in charge of. So, but anyway, I hope I have a bad feeling that one way or the other, he's going to come after him, Dr. Fauci, that is, with whatever he think he can get away with. And who knows? But then maybe he could get rehired if the right person wins the election. So. Anyway, that's something to wait and see. But I trust him; I really do. And he says it's a go. I'm with you. Give me the shot. But they don't know if it wears off right now, and then you may have to get one every year, like the flu. Or there's so many open questions. Let's just. This vaccine, whatever it is, has been the fastest produced vaccine in the history of medicine. They have never had a vaccine develop so fast after a disease has come to has infected people. people, and they don't know whether you get a shot and 6 months later it wears off, you get it again. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's why they have all these tests,
right,
that they must conduct, or you know, these trials, as they call them.
Yes.
In the meantime, we all have to just try to cut down our exposure, and that's what the European countries are now doing over. I listen to the BBC almost every morning, and we hear Spain, France, Czech Republic is really getting hit hard, it's very, very concerning, and people don't stay in their place, you know, people travel all over the world, they come here, and we go there, and it's just something that is so latent inside your system, then you get it, and then you can spread it to all these, it's 220,000 people have died, for goodness sakes, yeah. And I would think, you know, when the current president says that we wouldn't pay attention to a jet going down every day with 1,000 people, jets going down, that anybody would pay attention. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would. Look what happened in the Boeing 737 MAX.
Yeah.
They grounded those because less than 500 people died.
And they're still grounded.
And they're still grounded.
Yeah.
So, yes, we would pay attention to something like that. But at least baseball is starting to, well, it's in Texas, so I guess Texas feels comfortable allowing a few thousand people to attend the World Series.
Well, it's Texas. I'm surprised they're allowing a few thousand
people.
Yeah. That's the first fans they've had all year long.
That's correct, and I read an article somewhere that maybe this is the prelude of what baseball has to do in the coming year. It's called playoff plan, a bridge to 2020 attendance. He does not foresee, he being Gabe Lack or something. Good old Gabe said. Good, you know Gabe.
No, you don't Gabe.
Gabe Luquez. He's the guy that wrote this particular article, and he says, you know, baseball's plan, is the bridge to 21 attendance, and you're going to see probably 12,000 max for a while depending on how bad this gets by opening day of the baseball season. And I guess we'll have to see. Again, it's hard to make any plans if you are one who wants to go to the spring training.
Right.
And if they're only allowing, let's assume that the Goodyear ballpark holds 6,000, 7,000, about that. And you get about a third. So you're looking at, 2,000 people attending games. You're going to be lucky to get a ticket. And so it's going to make it very, very difficult for people to make plans to go to spring training. You're more than likely just to get the locals the local people from Ohio who are retired in the area to attend. So I don't know. I think that baseball is facing another grim outcome next year, at least for a part of the season, until they see what happens. The vaccine, even if it comes up at the end of the year, it's still going to, listen, it's so hard to find to get tested.
Yeah.
After all these months, you would think there'd be tests on every corner. Every doctor would have it. I call my doctor, can I get a COVID-19? Nope. I call the Cleveland Clinic, they say, oh yeah, but you have to have a doctor's note, you have to have symptoms. It is not easy, and when they do have these pop-ups, the lines go for miles.
That's gonna lead to black market testing, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, So I just can't believe that testing isn't so readily available that anytime anybody wanted to go to get one, he could without having to go through websites and everything else. But it's not that easy to get one. And when they do have openings, you better get online right away to get them because they go fast. And there's only one Rite Aid in the whole Akron area, and very fortunately, it's right down the street, and that's in Green. That has it, and then you have to go to either Youngstown or Salem to find another one. Just testing in CVS, all there. Every time I check to get tests there, they're all booked up. There's none available.
Yeah.
You know, this is 7-8 months after this thing started, yes. And we still don't have the necessary testing available. Everybody should be able to get a test every day. It's not that big of a deal.
No. And you think, there are some universities that started creating their own tests to give their students and their athletes and stuff, because it's considerably cheaper if they have the facilities to carry out the test and the results, be considerably cheaper for them to do it themselves. So why, with all the NeoMeds and the Cleveland Clinics around on every corner and all the Sumas around, why the heck don't we have our own facilities that are able to make and test people?
Oh, it's ridiculous, man. It's absolutely ridiculous. That's why you can't even trust the fact that 80-some thousand people a day are getting it. How do we know? Because the shortage of tests,
right,
availability is all around it. It could be triple that if everybody got tested the way they should, but we don't know.
The more we test, the more we find. And what's surprising to me, especially right here in Ohio, is finding it in the rural areas where, you know, people were complaining, why are you, when we were all shut down, why are we shutting down? We don't have any cases here in this county. Well, yeah, they didn't have any testing, you know, unless somebody got sick enough that they just about or did die from it, then they got tested for it, you know.
Well, there's a certain segment of our population, conservative people sometimes, not necessarily, I shouldn't say that, but there are, as a segment of society who believes, like the current doctor advising the president, that the only way out of this is herd immunity, which is...
No, wait, you got that wrong. I was listening to the president, he called it herd mentality.
Oh, well, that too, I guess, a herd immunity or mentality or whatever happens to be, and we're turning a corner. And I saw a cartoon with the corner going straight up.
Straight up, yes. Yep.
So we got this philosophy, maybe it's libertarian, I don't know, that, hey, you know, I'm going to go out there and live my life, and I get it, I get it. But
yeah,
if you jeopardize the whole healthcare system because you just search. I mean, where is it? Isn't it Iowa that they're building? They're getting this to El Paso, Texas. It's getting so bad that they had to put an auxiliary hospital up.
Well, and Iowa's not that far behind it. It's a little colder for a tent in Iowa.
Yes. Yeah. And the Dakotas are being hit. Deep Midwest, Nebraska, and all those states.
I guess the reason we bring this up to talk about it, because it affects everything, and it affects all the sports and all the athletes. And,
well, yeah, because they just had an article in the Beacon this week about how COVID cases affect more high school teams. And they, you know, I think it was Firestone, and another Garfield game was postponed. The division semifinal of four had to be... had to be switched because of COVID.
Right.
And I don't know. Is it going to be a factor? We have to deal with it. And really, all we have to do is wear a mask when we're out in public. But unfortunately, people are just fatigued, whatever you want to call it, just don't want to do it. I'll give you a personal example. On Sunday was the last flag football game of our grandson's flag football season. And we go, we have our mask on, and we're looking to the left and the right, and people bunched together. No masks.
Yeah.
None. I mean, I don't know where these people have been. Don't you? I just don't understand it. And it just must feel that, okay, if I get it, I get it. But when you get it, it's not very pleasant. Ask Governor Christie, former governor of New Jersey. He said, well, I made a big mistake by going to that rollout of the Supreme Court justice nominee, and I assumed everything would be fine there, and he really had a difficult time, as did some other folks as well. I don't know. If we don't, and let's face it, you know, we've had leaders in the past, like FDR, maybe Lincoln, in times of crisis, even George W. Bush, I mean, he was able to rally the public to a certain degree. You read about World War II and the people giving up meat and eggs and driving new cars. Everything was rationed. You had to get rationing coupons. You didn't hear people go, oh, I'm not going to do it. I don't care. It's just government's not going to tell me what to do. And maybe that's why they were called the Greatest Generation. Folks who fought World War II, they sacrificed not only by giving their lives in these wars, but also the people back home.
Yes.
And they saved every scrap of metal and everything for 4 years.
Yeah, the fat and kids turned in their comic books and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And here, all we really need to do is have one solid year of everybody wearing a mask, and this could eradicate it. And just, for some reason, we've developed this mindset that you're not going to tell me what to do. But in the past, we have. And we have to have somebody rally us to do that and make it the other way. If you don't wear a mask, people are going to start looking at you and say, you know, why aren't you doing your duty? And all of the duty is when you go to the store or you're in a crowd, you're forced to be a little bit closer than you want to be, you wear a mask.
Right.
It helps. But we'll see. We'll see.
We will see. And, you know, I was thinking because of that, and because of the limited people they'll have next year in the stands as well as none this year, you know, we talked about how the Tribe is going to face and what they're looking like. But you know what? Tribe isn't the only team in this. There's a lot of baseball teams in mid-market that just don't have the kind of television contracts that you have when you've got four to six cable companies competing for your product.
That's correct. There's only a few markets, maybe a handful. The Chicago's, the LA's.
The Chicago's, the LA's, and the New York, yeah.
And maybe to a certain extent,
Georgia, maybe.
And maybe St. Louis has always been a very popular baseball town,
but they're not a major. Major market, though.
You know, in baseball, they are, but let's say there's just a handful, 10 out of 30 teams. So 2/3 of the teams in baseball rely heavily on attendance. You know, the Milwaukee's, the Colorado Rockies, you know, Miami's, the Tampa Bay's, all those teams.
Yeah. The Pittsburgh, the Cincinnati, Cleveland, even Detroit is bigger than Cleveland, but you know they still rely on that people coming through the turnstile,
buying the $10 beers and the $5 hot dogs and the parking at $25 a car
and the signage that they can sell with people there in the stands.
Mm-hmm. And I would think that if this article is correct by Dave Laquez, that you're looking at limited seating for most stadiums coming up in the spring, I would think. Unless there's a miraculous change in what's happening, and they'll have to socially distance. But that still presents a problem because you're going to still have to go through turnstiles, and you probably have to congregate at the beer and food stands and things like that. I think I don't know, and I don't know what's going to happen with indoor basketball for high school and college and the like. It's so up in the air. And isn't it amazing, David, that we've been doing this remotely now since mid-March. And we're still talking about it.
Well, and we will be, and we'll be talking about it for at least probably another three quarters of a year before this really goes away. Because I know you said it's a record for the vaccine, but we don't have the vaccine yet. And once you have it, it's going to be at least a half year before it's readily available to all but the rich and the and hopefully. You know, the ones who get it first are your healthcare workers and your frontline people. And because, you know, it also had in the Beacon how they've got, what, close to two dozen firemen that out with the COVID?
You know, talk about congregate living as a firefighter. I mean, they live together for 48 hours at a time and go home for 48 and come back for 48, something like that. I know they work a day or two, and then when they're not out fighting fires, or they're stationed at a fire house and waiting to help somebody, and in the meantime, they're all gathered together there. So that seems like a very, very difficult thing for the firefighting profession to overcome.
And the athletes are going to get it before we do, and the heck, maybe the students should get it. I don't know, you know, but the thing is, everybody needs to have it available to them, but it's going to be, even from the time they say, okay, Dr. Fauci said, this is a good one, we'll go with it, and I'll let you know in half a year if you need to get another one. You know how long it's going to take before that's readily available to everybody? At least, at the very minimum, have to be a half a year.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be realistic. There's 330 million of us. That's a lot of dosage. And they still don't know whether you need two shots a week or two apart. That means that's 600 million right there. I mean, it just depends on the vaccine. Some of them are different than the others. Some have to be super refrigerated at very cold temperatures. Some can be less so. We don't know. We simply don't know. And so baseball is going to be interesting to, since we're, you know, we love our Indians. Well, I wonder what they're going to be next year.
Yeah.
The Guardians, I think that's the leading candidate, the Cleveland Guardians. I don't know when they plan to make the change. I would think that that will be coming down soon. As soon as the World Series is over, the free agency, the mechanics of the season have to start to begin. And it'll be interesting to see how they try to budget next year, not knowing if they're going to have fans, if they do have fans, whether or not it's going to be at the capacity that makes them any money. I just don't think so. I really don't.
So does at that point, does the tribe just continue to sink as other teams, you know, like Pittsburgh, like Tampa Bay, like Miami, like Detroit? You know, do they all continue to go south, and then it literally does become the big teams against the little teams?
Right, and what we're seeing now in the World Series, the little team against the big team. I mean, Tampa Bay is—they're down now 3-2, but it seems like every other game the opposing team wins. So I wouldn't be surprised tonight that Tampa Bay bounces back and ties this thing, and the seventh game will be on Wednesday. It's been an interesting series.
It has. And the sad thing is, it's been one of the lowest rated World Series almost on record.
And I can understand why. I mean, there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, there's a lot of things going on. The basketball tournaments were way down in attendance. You got a major election coming, and people are paying attention to that. You got football, it's always going to be I don't know how their ratings are this year, but you know, a lot of people would go to a bar and watch the World Series, but you have to be out of there by 10.
Yeah.
So, and these games have been long. I mean, long.
Yes.
I think Sunday's game I watched to the conclusion, and that was over 11:30. That's a 3.5 hour game. That's one of the fastest games they've had this year. I mean, you know, and the reason is that Tampa Bay changes pitchers constantly. They match up more than anybody, and they get the three pitches, you know, three batters in, and then here comes Kevin Cash to replace. I mean, it's a lot of changing pitchers, and if you do that, it really slows down the game.
Sure.
I mean, 3.5 hours. That's more than average, but that's been the fastest one.
A lot of people
are saying, "I'm gonna watch the game," but you know, I have to go to bed by 11.
Yeah, you know, and you can't talk about the World Series without talking the conclusion of the Saturday game with the double error by the Yankees. The bottom had to be the bottom of the ninth because that finished the game.
You mean the World Series? I mean the World Series?
Yeah.
I didn't know the Yankees were in
them. I'm sorry, the Dodgers. I'm sorry, you're right. I meant the Dodgers. But they had the double error. One in the outfield when he fielded the ball, then they had when he stole second, they threw it into the outfield.
Yeah,
and you know, it just,
well, I didn't make it to the end, so I know that Tampa Bay had a walk off home run to win that game, right? I think so. Anyway,
that was their first win, I think. That was their first win.
Okay, well, let me see. Sunday night, they won LA 1-4-2.
Right.
Saturday, Tampa Bay won 8-7 in that very long game.
Yeah.
Friday, Tampa Bay lost 6-2 to LA. And then Wednesday, second game.
That's where they had the two home runs, I think. Tampa
okay,
Bay.
All right. I Wednesday nights, I usually go to bed early because I play golf early on Thursday. So I knew that they won. And then LA dominated the very first game, 8-3. So.
Oh, yeah, actually, that was domination from start to finish.
Yeah. So, if everything going according to the script here, then tonight Tampa Bay should win. Then, but you're right. I just don't. It's a different season, and you know, people are just they're exhausted. Some people are parents are teaching their kids at home because not every school has in-class learning.
Yes.
So if you're a parent, you're probably working from home, and you have kids running around. And by the time 10, 11 o'clock rolls around, they're exhausted. They're not going to stay up to midnight to watch a World Series game.
Right. I
unless, now, I would imagine the markets, like, of course, Tampa Bay never has had strong fan backing. They just don't, for whatever reason. It's a miracle, really, that this team is as competitive as it is. The lack of fan support,
yes,
and the budget they seem to get by with. But I imagine the game in LA, the Dodgers have a very strong fan base. But at least in that market, they are being successful. It's just this is an anomaly here. I don't think there should be asterisks next to anybody who wins, because every team had to play under the circumstances.
True.
And I think the two best teams, LA had the best record, and so did Tampa. And I think that would have prevailed even in 162. And Kevin Cash is a very innovative manager, a protege, like we said before, of Terry Francona. He uses the closer when it's necessary, even if it's not the ninth inning. He'll bring his closer in at the seventh inning. If he feels the game is on the line, he'll bring his closer in seventh, eighth inning. He won't wait to the end. That's a different type of out-of-the-box thinking that has made this team successful.
Yes.
But the Dodgers are so loaded. I mean, come on. You've got Ballinger. You've got Seager. You've got Mookie Betts. You've got Justin Thomas is his name. He's had a great. They are loaded with talent, and to be as competitive against this Dodgers team as they are, you know, they deserve a lot of credit. Hopefully, they go down to Game 7. And I don't really have a dog in the fight, but you gotta pull for Tampa Bay because they're very similar to the Indians as far as budgets, and they got the pitching, and that's what we have. I mean, the Indians may not go down in a ball of fire because they do have enough starting pitching at affordable rates of salary that they can be competitive. But they got to find people to hit. And nothing's going to happen until they decide what they're going to do with Lindor. And that's a big, big decision coming down. And every owner, if we know it, every baseball organization knows it too, that probably the longer they wait to deal with him, the less they're going to get. Because, and he didn't have a great season either. He just didn't have a great season, man.
Yeah, it's not that. Yeah, you have to go on his potential and what he's done in the past, not what he did this year.
Potential gets you fired.
Well, it could. It could in this case, yeah. I mean, he's probably going to strain, but you know what? Probably the pressures of not having a contract, not knowing where you're going to be, and going there and thinking about the big money to come. Because, you know, where he came from, he's making pretty darn big money. But
I mean, he's set for life. He made $16-17 million this year. He's looking to make at least 20 next year. So that gets you by, I think, in most people's cases, that gets you by for the rest of your life.
Yeah, the rest of your life, yes.
And you see him in endorsing products. He's a very nice and popular young man, but he's certainly not giving the indication that he's going to stay, saying that the Indians are a $1 billion organization and they can afford to pay them. Well, they are worth $1 billion, but it's only when they sell them.
Right. When you sell them, it'll cost you about $1 billion to buy the Cleveland Indians. But until then.
and they really do need a minority owner to come in. And I guess there's like $300 million in escrow that they have to pay the new owner of the Kansas City Royals. Was the minority owner here in Cleveland. So if they only have, they have a time frame in which to do that. So that's a hanging liability over the Indians as well. And I guess fortunately in our division, there isn't a major market. We're, you know, Detroit and Kansas City and the Twins and Chicago are Chicago has they have money. And believe me, if they get pitching, that window will shut close on us very, very fast because we don't have any hitting. We just simply do not have the bats, and you're going to get rid of one of the ones who does hit, unless there's somebody in the farm system that could surprise us. But Oscar Mercado was horrible this year, and so was Zimmer, and Jake Bauer never showed up at all this year.
Yeah.
And all these young talented guys that we were hoping potentially hitters I don't think Zimmer has it. I really don't. Like you said, he's a 4A player, but we have a lot of those.
Yes.
And Oscar Mercado, I don't know what happened to him. Maybe he just didn't have the ability to shake off a bad start, and with a 60-game season, they couldn't afford to keep him in. But I don't think Delano DeShields is our answer.
No.
Come on. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
We shall see.
Hey, we before we run out of time here, we need to talk a little bit about the our good old Cleveland Browns.
The best for last. The Cleveland Browns, it was a great game. It really was.
Well, it was. Anybody who said they sat through that whole game and didn't get out of their chair or sit on the edge of it is lying or asleep, one or the other.
You know, we recorded it, and when we got back to back home, we were hopefully that nobody at the at my grandson's game would blab out the score. I heard somebody say we're ahead, but we weren't ahead at the corresponding time at that game and came home. So maybe they were talking about a different game. So it was a hard fought battle, and after a really bad first half, Baker Mayfield was on fire. He did what was necessary. And I tell you what, Joe Burrow, this young man, once they develop talent around him,
yes,
wow, he is amazing. He really is. For a rookie, he's got to be the Rookie of the Year candidate.
I've never seen a rookie quarterback take a hurry-up offense the way he does.
No, and when they scored with, a minute or so left, gosh, that was didn't look very, very promising.
I said this is over, and yet Baker Mayfield did something he hasn't done all year. He came from behind at the end and won the game. Usually what we do is we build up a score and watch it twaddle away until it's all gone.
That's right.
And still kind of hang on to win the game. When we lose big. But when we win, it's like we're ahead, and we just watch that disappear piece by piece by piece. But we were behind for a good portion of the game. Then he scored three touchdowns in a row, and we got ahead. Then they jumped back up. Then we jumped back up. Then they jumped back up, and we finished it off.
Well, like I said, I think that pass to end the game, basically to end the game, was his best pass as a professional. It had to be so precise to Peoples-Jones. That's the guy who received it. A sixth-round draft pick from Michigan, because Odell Beckham Jr. is out for the season.
Oh, he's out for the season? That's official now?
Yeah, okay. That's official. Okay. And that he tore an ACL. And it was, wow. I mean, I guess I'm ambivalent about Baker Mayfield one way or the other, but I thought that was, by any professional quarterback, one of the most precise passes I've ever seen. I mean, you were talking, it had to be absolutely perfect for that catch to have been able to be made.
Yes.
And he did it under pressure. And you got to give him tremendous kudos for that particular pass. Good for him. Good for him. He had, after last week's performance and after the first half, I said, oh, boy, there'll be a controversy next week. But he came back. He really did. And
he went from maybe one of his worst games as a professional to his best game as a professional.
Was that one game?
Yes. Yes.
And you got to give Stefanski credit. They were able to fine-tune their game plan for the second half to allow him to can you hear that?
No.
Oh, good. My earphones told me I had a text.
Oh, but
anyway.
Okay.
it was a very, very good fun game to watch. Absolutely. What's even better to watch is having a tape, not knowing the outcome, and just breeze through those pauses and commercials. I mean, you could watch a game in an hour and a half.
And replays, and yeah.
So fortunately, we did not know the outcome, and I'm glad we did, because what a delight to see that happen.
Yes.
Again, in years past, that would not have been completed. Maybe with just the game calling under Stefanski, a professional who's you have to my 5-2, for goodness sakes, that's fantastic. And for this franchise,
and what I found interesting is after the game and went to the fifth quarter over on channel 43, and they had their poll going along the bottom of what would make you happy, and the largest fill in is that a 500 season. They're at 5-2, and they'd be happy with an 8-8 record.
I don't think now.
Well, that was after the game.
Yeah. Well, who knows?
That's and that can't be fans, because half the time fans say, "I know Super Bowl." You know?
No, we're looking at the Raiders next week. The Las Vegas Raiders, hard to believe.
They will be here. That's a little helpful.
Yeah, and they certainly are. They're only two with. I think they're two with three. I'm not sure what they are. I got the receivers. But anyway,
they ended up getting beat up pretty good by Tampa Bay.
What are they?
Wasn't it like 42-20?
No, they're 3-3 now.
They're three and three.
Yeah,
they played some tough teams though. And I tell you what, there's an answer to the question. The answer is one, Tom Brady is for real. The question is Bill Belichick?
You're right.
Because, you know, even when he's had times when Brady has been out for injury, he's brought in another guy that has done so well until Brady can come back and be there for the playoffs and take them through, you know, but.
They got killed by the 49ers.
They absolutely got throttled, and they're at what, two and three?
The Patriots are 2-4.
2-4.
Uncharted territory. Unfortunately for the Browns, they're in a division that they got Pittsburgh, who they beat Tennessee, which was an undefeated team, I believe.
Right, they were undefeated as well, yeah. And Tennessee has become a very tough team, as you and I both know, watching them come from the time the Doofuses took over and we started playing them every year.
They're from Tennessee.
It doesn't matter how bad they were, they would still beat us. But now they are a good, organized, well-oiled machine of a team. And they gave Pittsburgh a run. They were led for a lot of...
They were ahead 21-0.
Yeah.
And came all the way back and made a game of it. So they're for real. And who was up? They had opened Baltimore, Indianapolis, Miami, and Minnesota. So Kansas City won against the Broncos.
They destroyed the Broncos, and that's without their big quarterback.
Yeah, Buccaneers are for real too. Tampa Bay's in the National Conference, so we don't. Well, they play some AFC teams throughout the year, but Tom Brady, he's an amazing quarterback and the best, I think, that has ever played the game.
You know, if you
can tell me another one. I know there's been great ones, absolutely great quarterbacks.
Well, to see him take his success from one team in one system and to take it to another team and turn that into a winning situation, I'm willing to say, yes, he is. He is what he looked like.
Right.
The question is, is Bill Belichick? Would Bill Belichick have ever been a great guy? Because there's almost been nobody from the Bill Belichick tree, a coaching tree, that's ever been successful as a coach.
No. And, I think it's still 2-4. But the Bills are for real. I mean,
they struggled against the Jets, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, they did.
And they lost the two games before that. So they started off really good and broke a toe or something. I don't know.
Well, they're in a good position to win that conference, that division anyway.
Okay, that's like saying you're in a good position to win the conference with the Phillies and the team from Washington and the Eagles and the Giants. And the Giants.
Dallas is having a hard time. I saw them rolling Andy Dalton out of the. I don't know if he got hurt too.
Yes, he got hit with a dirty hit, and the guy got ejected, and his teammates really didn't even come out to, you know, like they did for Rudolph. All the Steelers got on there and started pounding up. Nope, that didn't happen.
Yeah, he injured his ankle, so I don't know if he's out for a while or not.
And they just signed somebody to take his backup spot, and they don't have anybody else.
No. Well, Colin Kaepernick's out there.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever see the light of day again.
A great college quarterback, yes.
Yeah, he was. And he took the 49ers all the way to the playoffs and
with a college coach with a college style for him. Yes,
that's right. Yeah, but we've had a significant injury too. We know Macy OBJ is got a torn ACL that has been confirmed, and we lost a very good tight end, Austin Hooper, to appendicitis. He had a emergency appendectomy
on Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you can come back in a couple, 3 weeks for that.
And you got two starters, a wide receiver and a quarterback with a cracked rib.
That's right. We're
not a football team. We're a MASH unit.
Yeah, a lot of people are hurt this year. They've had many injuries, but.
Does that go back to the fact that you couldn't have all these camps and all this building up and all your preseason games and things like that? And a lot of times when somebody did what they did to hold out contract or whatever and came back just at the beginning of the season, many times they got hurt getting into the season because they weren't. There's a difference between being in shape and being in football shape.
You're right. The lack of perhaps preseason games. Not only hurt the players, but they said it hurt the officiating. Because officials didn't have any practice games and own their skills, too. That may have hurt. I don't know. It's a brutal game.
Is a brutal game. It is, truly.
You're talking about men who are so strong, so fast. The physics of the game just make it so easy to get injuries, and the knees aren't made for football. They aren't. And unfortunately, Odell Beckham got this injury while trying to tackle a guy who intercepted a Mayfield pass.
Yeah,
it wasn't even on an attempted
reception. Yeah,
reception. So it's sad. I mean, I don't think maybe we'll even see Odell Beckham back in Cleveland anyway. He just doesn't seem like he likes it here so much, but maybe
he doesn't like losing. Nobody does, but he likes it less than a lot of other people.
Well, that game last week really got him upset. So, I don't know. I mean, and some of the defensive backs are hurting. They're really hurting in the safety and pre-safety positions, and Denzel Ward had a very good game yesterday, but we'll see. I mean, when I heard Hooper was gone, and they rely on him to be that guy who's open when everybody else isn't open.
Yep.
And he's a strong, one of the best top five tight ends, offensive tight ends, and in the league, one of the better acquisitions.
Well, we're going to be you'll be gone the next couple of weeks, as far as we know.
You
get your COVID test, so we'll see what happens between now and when you get back.
Will you miss me?
Of course, we'll miss you. I'll miss you. Of course, I will. Of course, I will. And until that, I think you can't leave without leaving us a pun to go on.
All right. I'm going to sing this one.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
If you go in the sea and an eel bites your knee, it's amore.
There you go.
I'm not very good singer, but I lost the lyrics there for a second.
Yeah. Sorry. Proper lyrics help. Just ask the Frank Sinatra. All right, that's going to do it. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. We'll have some other programming going on. I think we'll bring back the Marla Ridenhour one where she talked about that and see what goes on after that. So
if for some reason we can't go, Mars Americans, I'll be back.
You'll be back. If the U.S. doesn't let you get back, it'll take longer. But anyway, we'll see everyone else next week here on Sports Sidebar.